In our last session, we talked about the three different categories of Christians that we find in 1 John in chapter 2. And we have spiritual children, we have spiritual young men and women, and we have spiritual fathers and mothers. Now, I want to talk to you about each of these categories, what that looks like, and then how we ourselves and those whom we train can grow through these stages so we don't remain where we are. I mean, very honestly, I find many people in churches today are still spiritual babies. They're born again, they know the Lord, but they're really still spiritual children. And so I'm going to show you from Scripture how you go from one category to the other, and you misunderstand this for a healthy house church ministry to really be accomplished. Now, let's talk about spiritual children. You know, what does a spiritual child look like? Honestly, first of all, they know their sins are forgiven. We just read that from 1 John in our last session. And again, this is 1 John 2, 12, 13, and 14. It says, I write to you, dear children, verse 12, because your sins have been forgiven. And then we read where he says, I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. So they're in the kingdom of God. They know Jesus. They know the Lord. They know the Father. But here's the reality. I find there are many, many people who have been in churches, whatever type of church, for many, many years, who actually are still spiritual children. They might be 80 years of age, but they're still spiritual children. You say, Larry, how do you know? Let me tell you. And this happens many times when I'm involved in ministry, I'm involved in church, in ministry in different parts of the world. Here's what happens. Someone will come to me after I speak, and they'll say, Larry, we're having a problem in the church. And I say, what's the problem in the church? And they'll say, well, the problem is we're not being fed. Now, as soon as I hear that, I'm thinking, oh, here's a spiritual baby. Because only babies need someone to give them a bottle. Only babies need someone to spoon feed them. I mean, if somebody's a young man or young woman, they learn to feed themselves. Am I right? How do we feed ourselves? We feed ourselves by getting in the Word of God for ourselves. Or you have two babies, one toy, one fight. I find the people in local churches who give the most problems, whether it's to pastors or to whatever's going on, the leadership in the church, are usually those who are just still spiritual babies. I remember I was talking to a pastor of a mega church in America, and he said, they had thousands in their church. And he said, Larry, he said, every week, he said, I feel like I'm coming with a big baby bottle, going down the aisle and giving everybody their bottle. And he told me the story, he said, of how they had thousands of people come to Christ in their city. They had some kind of big crusade, and thousands of people come to Christ. He said, a year later, only a few people actually connected with our church. He said, and they realized what they needed. They need to have spiritual families. They need to start some kind of house fellowship, some kind of small groups. And they did that, and they saw some major changes happen. But all these people are coming into the church, into the kingdom, are spiritual babies. Now, if we're spiritual babies, how do we become spiritual young men and spiritual young women? How do we do that? We expect natural children to grow. How much more should we expect our spiritual children to grow? Because remember, the spiritual baby says, Pastor, feed me, feed me. And they're the ones that are saying, there's this problem, this problem. No, spiritual young men and young women start taking some responsibility. Spiritual fathers and mothers really, really, really understand what's going on. So I want to make it clear. I love hanging out with new Christians. I'm not talking about baby Christians who are new. I love. They are hungry. I mean, you have a house fellowship, and you have a new baby Christian come in. It changes everything. It's like when a new baby comes into the family, everything focuses on the new baby. You forget about your own problems. You're focusing on the baby. But the same thing is true in the church when you have new people come into the kingdom. You know what I've learned? It's the funniest thing. I can find a new Christian. They'll pray any prayer. Some untheological prayer, and God answers. Now, why? They're babies. You know, babies come home from the hospital, and they're crying. We say, oh, it's just wonderful. Give them the bottle. They're doing great. It's wonderful. You know, they're doing what they do in their diaper or their nappy, whatever you term you use in your part of the world. And they say, oh, it's just wonderful. But if they're 14 years of age doing the same thing, we say we have a problem, right? Because they haven't grown up. Many people in the church are still spiritual babies. Now, how do we get them to take the step to become a spiritual young man or spiritual young woman? Well, it's right here in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 makes it clear. It's 1 John chapter 2 says they have overcome, the young men have overcome the wicked one. It says the word of God abides in them. So, what do spiritual young men do? Spiritual young men and young women have learned to take the word of God for themselves. So, let me give you an example. If somebody is a spiritual baby and they're just confused, you know, they're calling their house church leader, they're contacting their, you know, their pastor, you know, and they're saying something, oh, I'm just so depressed and I'm so confused, don't know what I'm going to do, please pray for me. And that's fine, they're babies. But when they begin to grow up a bit, they begin to get the Word of God for themselves. And they say, oh, no, I don't need to call this person to help me right now, because the Word of God says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And I claim peace in my life in the name of Jesus. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. They use the Word of God. And you know what happens? They become young men, become young women. Now, they're still not fathers or mothers, but they're young men, young women. Now, there's one problem with young men and young women. They're a bit arrogant. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. When I was 8, I thought my father knew everything. When I was about 13 or 14, I thought, he's still pretty smart, but there's a few things he doesn't know. When I was 16, 17, I thought, my father is a prehistoric man. He really does not know what's going on in today's generation. And then I got married at age 20, had our first baby, age 23, 24, and learned how to have a baby, and I was shocked at how much my father learned the last 5 years. Now, what happened? It wasn't that he learned anything. I was the one who was learning. I had a baby. All of a sudden, I realized all he had done. I hadn't understood that before, but I understood it then because I became a father. I find this in churches. Someone goes to, they go to Bible college, they do a Bible school. Young men, when I was a pastor, they come and say, oh, they say, Brother Kreider, you know, I know you love the Lord and everything, but I just want to show you there's something here in the Word of God you don't understand. And, you know, after a while, that's fine. They're just young men. It's okay. But see, the key is they need to learn to be fathers and mothers. Because when they learn to be a father or a mother, it changes everything. So, how do you become a spiritual father or a spiritual mother? Say, well, let's memorize the book of Leviticus. Go for it. It doesn't make you a spiritual father or mother. See, I need to get 5 degrees from a theological seminary. Fine, if you want to do that. It won't make you a spiritual father or mother. There's only one way to become a spiritual father or mother, the same way you become a natural father or mother. Have children. And there's two ways to have children, by natural birth or by adoption. Either way is clear. Paul had spiritual sons. Philemon, he led to Christ in prison. He called him his son. You see it in the book of Philemon. But Timothy, in Acts 16, Paul meets Timothy with his grandmother and his mother, who were believers, and his father was a Greek, and said, could I take him with me? He adopted him. So either way is fine, but we need to know who, during this season of our lives, who are spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. House church gives a great opportunity to express spiritual parenthood, to be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to the next generation. Now, let me be clear about this. I was in a place called Medford, Oregon, a couple years ago, and I was speaking about being a spiritual father, being a spiritual mother. A little girl in the front row came up to me after the whole thing was over, and she said, Larry, thank you for coming here. You flew the whole way across our nation to teach us these important things. I said, well, thank you. I said, tell me about you. She said, well, I'm in school. And she said, I have three girls. That I'm just helping grow spiritually. And I don't always have the answers, but I come home and talk to somebody in the church or my parents or somebody, and I'm helping them grow. And I realized this girl was a spiritual mother to 2 or 3 girls in school. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 12. Here was a 12-year-old who had become a spiritual mother. I meet people who are 70 or 80 and feel like somehow they couldn't do this. We are all called to become spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. And I'm going to practically, in these lessons that are coming, explain to you how that works, how you can do that, and how you can do that effectively. So, natural birth, adoption, either way, maybe there's somebody comes to your house, if they're a believer, that you begin to pray with them. You may meet with them maybe once a month. I say, look, you pray for them every day. You're there for them for a season of time. And again, you could have many spiritual fathers, many spiritual mothers. You can be one of many in people's lives. It might be for a short season. It might be for a long season. But the important thing is that we're seeing we are investing in people. And that's what being a spiritual father and spiritual mother is really all about. So you can be a spiritual father and mother regardless of your age. Should I tell you why many people never become spiritual fathers and mothers? Because they think they can't do it. I remember we had our first baby. I was the age, I think it was 24, our first baby. And my wife, Loretta, was pregnant, and we went through all the childbirth classes where we live. You take these classes, and then I could be with my wife, Laverne, and help in the process, you know, say help, you kind of coach her. You know, she's doing all the work. And so I remember we went to a couple classes, and they said, we'll see you at the hospital. And this is all new to me. And so I remember well, one day she said, today's the day. Baby's coming today. And I'm panicking inside. I think, I'm not ready to be a father. I felt like saying, couldn't you put it on hold? Just wait 6 months. Well, that was not an option. And so we went to the hospital. Somehow I helped her with the breathing and through the whole process. We had this wonderful little girl. And all at once, it happened. And I thought, okay, now I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to be a father. I might break this baby. You know, I don't know how to do this. But, you know, somehow I learned. And grandma helped. Our neighbor next door helped. And somehow I learned how to be a father. And that's the way it is, being a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. I say, I don't know if I could do this. Yes, you can. People will help you. You might make some mistakes, but it's okay. But the call of God in your life is to be a spiritual mother or a spiritual father to the next generation. So do not allow fear to keep you from going down that road to be the spiritual father or the spiritual mother that our God has called you to be. I was in the West Coast of the United States and talking about being a spiritual father and mother. And a man came up to me, an elderly man, and I don't know, maybe in his 70s or 80s. And he said to me, you know, he said, I work with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, for many years. I was a spiritual father to many. But he said, I never had a spiritual father. And he said, it was okay because God was my father and God met me. But I thought, it would be great to have a spiritual father. So I moved to the state of Florida. And while I was there, I went to this new church plant. A young man in his late 20s. He said, came to me and said, could we go out for coffee or for breakfast? He said, sure. So we went out for breakfast. He said, he sat there and asked me questions. He said, you know, man, tell me about your life and how could, at this stage of your life, how could I be a blessing to you and how could I help you? He said, it was just wonderful. I haven't experienced that before. He said, and then he said, could we get together like this again next month? And he said, again, he sat there and he asked me questions. It wasn't about him. He said, it was about he was helping me. He said, Larry, he said, here I am in my age. I had found a spiritual father. He's 29 years of age. See, God can do this any way he wants to do it. Because God is a father, and he wants to impart his father, he wants to impart his heart into our lives to be spiritual fathers and mothers. Now, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says it like this. Verse 1, he says, you be strong in the graces in our Lord Jesus Christ, my son. Speaks about Timothy, his son. Again, spiritual son. But then he says this. He says, and the things that you have heard from me, first generation, say in the presence of many witnesses to reliable men, and that'd be, I mean, obviously, let me start over. The things you've heard from that you, started with Timothy, he was second generation. Paul, Timothy, second generation. Things you've heard from me, Paul was first generation, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, third generation, who also will be qualified to teach others. And now we're talking about the fourth generation. Now, interesting. Paul was thinking four spiritual generations. That's how God thinks. He's a generational God. And that's why, if you want to see house churches planted that grow to become more house churches and reproduce, you have to think like this, because God is the God of the generation. And it must, the vision must be much more than I want to plant a bunch of house churches. It needs to be, I want to be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother, because when you release them and send them out, you can still be there to be their father or their mother and help them. All you need to be is a few steps ahead of them, and you can see amazing, amazing, amazing things happen. Now, it's interesting. If you were just to take, you know, one person and disciple that person for a year, and just be a father to him or a mother to him. And the next year, they take one, and you take one more. And the next year, you take one more, you continue a relationship with them, and they take one, and they take one. Just one per year. One person per year. Do that for 10 years. Do you know how many people that you would be responsible to have fathered or mothered in the Lord? 1,000. If you don't believe me, do the math. If you did that for 20 years, do you know how many people? We're talking about 1 million. 1 million. In 20 years. Just one a year. One a year. And every one that you disciple does one a year. 30 years? 1 billion? We're talking, what, 34, 35 years? The whole world. Now, people say, oh, but it'll break down. What if it breaks down? I say, I'll take 500,000. So I just want you to know this is God's plan. The devil hates this. This is why spiritual fathering and mothering is so important. When you get this in your spirit and this motivates your life, then all at once you begin to understand planting house churches, reproducing house churches, because it goes back to this principle of being a spiritual father and a spiritual mother to the next generation. You know, I think the example that has helped me so much was in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham. You know, Abraham, Genesis 17, 4 and 5 says, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be a father to many nations." God speaking to Abraham. Father to many nations. And that hasn't even had his son Isaac yet. But he believed God. And the Bible says in Genesis 15 and verse 5, he says, "Count the stars. He says, so shall your offspring be." And then verse 6 says, "Abram believed the Lord." God wants us just to believe Him, to be like Abraham. Just to believe God that He could use us to see sons and daughters spiritually, who have sons and daughters spiritually, who have sons and daughters spiritually, and we can see the nations change just because of our obedience to the Lord. I find it interesting, you know, Sarah, I'm sure, would call her husband for a meal, and his name was Abram. And one day, when God said, "Father of many nations," Abraham, change your name to Abraham. She started to say, "Abraham, come for the meal." The neighbors probably thought she was crazy. Abraham means father of many nations, you know, and he doesn't have his own son. But God saw something else. And because he obeyed the Lord, today, the people of God, of course, the Israelites, the Jewish people all over the world, praise God, millions and millions and millions because of his obedience. And then because of Jesus, and we're grafted in into the family of God, all because of Abram's faith when he really didn't have any sons of his own. See, God wants to give you spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. And see, that behind all this church planting and planting house churches and developing house churches is this heart that says, "My God is a father, and he imparts his fatherhood into my life. And I'm going to have sons and daughters, and they're going to have sons and daughters. I'm a grandfather. I'm soon at the age in my life where my grandchildren could get married and have their own children. That'll make me a great-grandfather. That sounds really old to me, but that's the reality. That's what happens naturally when you have children. The same thing applies spiritually. And see, God can use you just taking one person. One person a year even, and they take one, and you see what can happen, 1,000 in 10 years, and 1,000,000 in 20 years, and 1,000,000,000 in 30 years, the most amazing thing. That's why the devil hates this reality so much. So when Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:2, "My son Timothy," he's calling him his son, he says, "you find a reliable man, you find someone you pour your life into. What I taught you, you teach him, and he'll teach others also, fourth generation, and you continue that on." You see, we will see God do amazing things in the generation we live in. We're going to talk more about this. How to be practically, what's it look like? How to be the spiritual father or mother he's called us to be? How to claim our inheritance together? And we're going to talk more about this in the next sessions that come.